I feel like I'm about to bring the excitement now.
Yeah, I just had a couple of sips of coffee, and I'm raring to go.
I just stretched out my hammies, and I think this is going to be a good show.
I have never been more excited about an episode than I am right now.
And welcome to episode 27 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. I am Alan, sitting in Tübingen, Germany.
And I am Adam, sitting in Vancouver, British Columbia.
That was a little bit slow, I feel like.
Really?
I'm going to edit that down, make it seem quicker.
How come it seems slow?
I don't know.
I seem, you know, snappy.
That's a good point. Let's moving on. We just bring the show to a crashing halt.
If this is any indication of how the rest of the show is going to go, maybe we should just shut it down right now.
Okay. Thanks for listening. What did you shoot this week, Adam?
I shot. We went to Victoria this weekend. I have some family that lives on Vancouver Island, and we went there and spent some time with my brother and his family. He has a couple of kids a little older than my kids, 7 and 5, a 7-year-old boy and a 5-year-old girl. So my kids love hanging out with them. So we went to their house, and my parents, Nana and Pa, came along as well. So yeah, just good family get together. It was a beautiful day on Saturday. And so we had, like, they have a trampoline in the backyard. So took some pictures of the kids on the trampoline, and they had a slip and slide out. So took some pictures of that, and just good cousins playing games. There was a street hockey game, all sorts of good outdoor entertainment. So it was great because, great colors. The sky was really, really a deep blue, and, you know, with the green grass and the blue and the colors, it was, I got some good pics, and I did use flash for some of them because most of those photos were taken in the middle of the day. So the sun's overhead. Obviously, there's issues with shadows on their faces, so I did use a little bit of flash to try to fill in some of the dark spots.
And that was your high speed sync?
That was high speed sync, yeah. Which we haven't gotten to yet, have we? On the show?
We haven't gotten to. That was the teaser.
Yeah, high speed sync. That's right.
That's your new addiction, if I understand correctly.
Like it a lot. Like it a lot. Yeah. Allows me to do a few things that I couldn't do otherwise, and if I had tried with the flash in those same circumstances, would have got very blurry photos.
Yeah. Well, there's that.
That's it. The end. That's the end. Thank you for listening.
The second crashing halt in the first 5 minutes of the show. No, we're going to get to high-speed sync because it's a great tool. It's really, really amazing what they're doing there, but we need to reinforce a few basic flash principles before we get there.
Yeah, and if you want to skip ahead, then just Google it.
Yeah, or just sit and wait quietly for 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's an even better option.
Either way.
Yeah.
Either way, you can't lose.
What about yourself? Pictures? Baby pictures?
Yeah. That's pretty much what I shot. That's pretty much all I shot this week.
And you never sent any out in the last few days, so any real big winners?
I don't know. I basically been updating that same gallery for you guys to just sort of check at your leisure.
Oh, okay.
So I don't want to be the guy who inundates everybody with photos in the email every day.
Right.
Although I do like getting, that's the thing, is I like getting family photos because I'm not on the Facebook, and so I don't really see pictures that way. And so I like receiving pictures from all my friends, what their kids are up to.
Right.
What I don't like is my friends who refuse to understand how to shrink their pictures down before sending them an email.
Right, yeah. I don't really send pictures in the email.
No. Well, your wife writes the blog, so it's
right,
all sorted
that's
out kinda, right there.
That's our way of doing it.
Yeah, no, and I very much appreciate that. It's a great way for me to sort of keep up with what's going on. And then, like, I guess for a week or so, you guys had a busy life, and thus your wife's blog suffered.
Yes.
And I suffered because I like to see, you know, what the exploits of Sarah and Jack.
Right, yeah. No, they're up to trouble. Yeah, they're up to trouble. We just have to now fill in the blanks for those people that read the blog.
But lately, I will say that Lisa's picked it up.
And yeah, she has. She's been trying to write more consistently. But she's also on summer vacation, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so works out good for everybody else. That's what I think. So yeah, a lot of baby pictures and, you know, different sort of stuff. I kind of want to stray away from doing too many setup photo shoots with the kid.
Yeah.
Just because I end up not getting any snapshots. And I kind of like snapshots, like just regular snapshots of everyday, you know, life.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah. So
I've never, other than holidays, I think that's the only time I've really set anything up. Like, usually there's one for Easter or one for Christmas, and, you know, those ones are kind of orchestrated. But outside mm-hmm. of those holiday shots, I don't think I have ever, you know, set up a photo shot. But again, I'm not a cameraman by trade.
Right. Right. Yeah, so it's hard to get away from. You get in these habits that you do, and but the key is get your camera set up. That's what I find is I take my 40D a lot of places with the simple kit lens and get it set up so it's essentially idiot proof, and then hand it to other people and say, "Here, fire away." So hopefully we get some more snapshot things of parties and outings and stuff like that.
I don't do that, so I don't trust anybody with my camera. So,
yeah, I didn't, but I've had that one for a while, and so now I'm just okay. Go ahead, fire away.
And you have a backup. You know, your backup is still a reasonably good camera. I have one camera, and no backup. My backup isn't suitable. So,
it's funny how when I got the 5D, my 40D suddenly became, I wouldn't say expendable, but I was a little more courageous with it.
Well, I think now that you're just setting me up to go buy a more expensive camera.
No. I'm not courageous like I leave it on the dashboard of my car and then park it downtown. Which, although in tubing, in that would be completely fine. Like, if somebody broke into your car here, it would be on the front page of the newspaper the next day.
Really?
Yeah. It's just not done.
That's awesome. That's good.
Yeah, graffiti everywhere, but no theft from autos. So yeah, all right. Who wants to talk about a photo challenge?
Sure, I will.
Okay, I'm going to ask that question again, and I'm going to need a more enthusiastic answer.
Okay, ask it.
Hey, who wants to talk about the photo challenge?
Oh, can I?
All right, now you're just mocking me. Okay, let's just get into it.
Okay, so do you have my photo up?
I don't. I wasn't even paying attention.
Oh. Did we do some?
What was the challenge this week? You challenged.
It was sculpted light. I think you coined that term.
Right.
Yeah, sculpted light.
With a on-camera flash.
With an on-camera flash, correct.
And we took a lot of pictures. We had trouble narrowing it down.
Yes.
So let's freight train through these. Okay. Who do you want to start with, mine or yours?
I'll start with mine.
Okay. What are we looking at here?
We are looking at a picture of Jack. Jack, that's my son Jack. And that picture was taken in our living room, which I've used many times for window light pictures. But this scenario I set up a little different. So I closed all the blinds to block out the light that comes from the window side, which is where his face is against the couch. So often there'd be light leaking in from his left above his head. So I blocked all that off. And so it's really dark when I took this picture. So what I wanted was I wanted to use the flash, bounce it off the wall that's maybe 10 feet from the right side of his face, and have it bounce back on him and light up the right side of his face and have a contrast with the left side of his face. So in order to have, because it was so dark, the way I lit this, I wanted to have some exposure on the left side of his face. And because his head is right down by the coach, it's super dark. So I used an ISO of 800. And then I'm shooting this in manual mode. So I have an ISO of 800 and I have an f-stop of 4. Mm-hmm. And then I juiced up the flash an extra two-thirds of a stop, and then I bounced it off, or two-thirds of an exposure, whatever they sort of measure those units in, and then bounced it off the wall, and it comes back and lights up the right side of his face. And because of the 800, and I think it's a 1/40th of a second shutter speed, because of the slow shutter speed and the juiced up flash and the 800 ISO, I'm able to light the left side of his face just enough. So you get the the contrast plus, you know, the catch light in both eyes still. So that's it. That's what I did. But, oh, I should let people in on the little directional light trick that I used here.
Fact that you're shooting it on camera, like this flash is sitting on your camera. It looks like it's not.
Right.
It looks like you have it. You're firing it with a. I can't say firing. Firing it with a remote, off camera, and letting him that way. So this is the best trick I have ever heard about on camera flash photography.
Right.
And I've been doing it for a while. Like, because one of the things you want to do that, again, we will get to this in more detail, on how to modify your flash. And that's always kind of the goal, is, you know, I've always wanted to modify it and soften it and make it the best, make it less harsh. But this tip I came across about a year ago, and it is the greatest. Now, without further ado, what is the tip?
Wow, you built it up so much, I don't know if I can do it justice.
It's that you've already done it justice. Look at the picture.
Okay, so what I did, and again, maybe we can post a link to the original article so that people can sort of see what the setup looks like. Is that possible, you think?
Oh, no question.
Okay, so I took a black piece of, I guess it's kind of like foamy paper.
So the guy who I don't want to say invented, because it's a simple flag move, but to use an on-camera flash, I think he invented it.
Yeah, okay.
He calls it the black foamy thing.
Yeah. And we want to give him credit because we didn't come up with this, but it's awesome. And so
I wish I had come up with this.
You could patent it and you could sell it for, you know, whatever, 15 bucks, whatever it is. But anyways, we're dancing around, and I think people probably just want to know. I took this black piece of foamy paper, and it's relatively dense, and it blocks the light from escaping out the sides. And more or less, I don't know, it's maybe sitting 6 inches above the top of my flash and wrapped all the way around. So basically it's serving as like a funnel for the flash light. Mm-hmm. And so then I have greater control as to where I aim that flash. So normally it comes out of your flash and the light spreads out. So now I'm creating sort of a tunnel for it. And that way I can bounce it more directly where I want it to go, and therefore sort of control the effect on my subject a lot better.
Right. Typically, without the black foamy thing, you're going to get some spill light, we call it, going forward and hitting Jack in the face.
Right.
And you're going to lose a lot of the directional light that you're getting. So rather than being lit 100% by the wall, it's going to sort of be a mix, and you're going to lose that. So the black foamy thing was I read about it on a guy's blog, a guy by the name of Neil Van Niekerk. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right.
That's how it's spelled. That's how I would pronounce it.
That's how I. Okay, great. We'll post a link to his site, because I've learned an awful, awful lot from him, and he's got a couple of books, and I have one of his books, by the way. When he released his first book, I just bought it immediately because I've been reading his blog for so long, and it's so insightful. Like, it's a lot more advanced stuff than we talk about, but if you're listening to this and you want to learn more, definitely check it out. Buy his book. I even reread his book this week, or started to reread it, and picked up another tip that I'll share with you later. That is just fantastic.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Are you getting some sort of kickback from Van Niekerk here?
I've never met the man.
Wow, you're really pumping his tires pretty good here.
It's that – I know. I thanks for asking, by the way, because, no, I do not get a kickback. We get no shout-out, nothing like that. It's just been the – honestly, the best photography tip that I've ever received.
I love it, too. You raved about it, and I use it all the time.
Yeah. Once you start with it, you can't – you just run with it.
So I what I did – and, again, I could probably just – just take a picture of what I did to fashion mine, because it works really well, is I sort of cut it to size, and I put like just like stick on, you know, three little stick on Velcro tabs, you know, the sort of male and female Velcro mm-hmm. tabs. And then I just, you know, wrap it around my flash. It fits perfectly. It Velcros on, it stays on, and I'm good to go. And then I just, you know, it folds flat, stick it in your camera bag, and you've got it whenever you need it.
Yep. It's that easy. And mine is a, it's a piece of black foam that was essentially the packing for some like a router or something. I just pulled it out of the top, and that was it. Boom. That's my black foamy thing. I keep it on with one of my wife's hairbands.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah. Mine was a dollar store piece of black foam. Simple as that. It cost me a dollar.
Yeah.
I bought two, so I'd have a backup.
Yeah. So... definitely check out his website if you want to know more. We will talk about it in future shows, because I think when we start getting into modifying flash, we'll talk about it a bit more. But if you want to know more, for now, check it out. So the result is fantastic. I love this picture. You probably weren't going to take this with your on camera flash.
No.
So. You took a couple other ones. Let's quickly talk about them, because I posted them on Flickr already.
Oh, okay. So I took...
So if you're listening to this live, you're either my wife or somehow hacking into my computer. Go ahead and check us out on Flickr right now. They're already up.
Awesome. I did basically the same thing in a picture of my wife. So I'm mm-hmm. assuming you did post that picture. So same sort of idea. Just bouncing the flash off of the wall to her right. And then you're getting the illumination on the right side of her face. And again, the darker sort of shadow on the left. So, yep. I don't have offhand with me the exact, settings, but, I think actually I set this one to a max sync speed of 1/200th of a second. And looking at it, it's probably an aperture of somewhere around 3.5 to 3 to 3.5, something like that.
Right.
And that's it. That's all I got for you there.
That looks – well, it's more of the same technique. And then again, you have one of Sarah.
Yep. And then I have one of Sarah, which was a little different idea here, in that – I did the same exact technique as far as the flash part of it was concerned. I used the foamy, and I'm bouncing the flash to her right. But the other side of it is, and again, I really wasn't consciously thinking about this when I was taking the picture. I was just kind of fooling around. But the window light is coming from her left. So mm-hmm. she's lit from both sides pretty evenly, considering there's two completely different light sources here. And then somehow in the mix of that light coming from her left from the window and the flash from the right, there's a complete drop off behind her. And I have a little bit of an exposure compensation on the image. But I really like the effect in terms of the background. She's sitting on a couch. You almost can't tell there's a couch there.
Right. I actually had to lighten it up in Photoshop to double check. I think I sent you that email. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah. No, I did read it, and I saw what you had done. And I guess you like you said, you're just trying to problem solve how that, and mm-hmm. you figured it out. You knew that based on you've been to my place, where the couch was and where the window light was, that's right. What happened. And you do see from the flash the light on her right side of her face is a little brighter than what's on her left, but still mm-hmm. it's pretty even considering those two different light sources.
Oh yeah, I didn't even realize it was. That much on window light. I thought it was just enough to sort of give her the little kicker on her knee and her left shoulder. It looked like it was kind of backlit.
Yeah.
But, no, it looks great. Again, you're not going to do that. You're not doing that with on-camera flash with pop-up flash. But you're not going to get that same effect even with a regular bounce flash. It's just going to end up lighting up too much of your subject directly and kind of casting a little bit of a shadow on the coach or whatever it is, and you're not going to get that kind of spotlight effect.
Yeah, and I mean, I really, really like that effect. I mean, I like seeing the shadows on the one side of the face in all three of those pictures. That's I don't know. Again, I'm not the expert you are, but just it seems like it gives better shape to people's faces.
Yes. Yep, absolutely. It's just it's a great way to do it. So, yeah, I had trouble picking what I for your picture, what I would have picked for the... Should I try that again? Out of the three pictures you submitted, I had trouble picking a winner.
Okay. So they're like all winners. I think the answer is they're all winners.
They're all winners. They're all tied for first. That's right. We all got a participation ribbon.
No. No, they all got a first place ribbon.
Which ends up making it a participation ribbon. So, okay. Do they hand those out in the Olympics this year?
Yes. Everybody who got the gold medal also received a participation ribbon.
Yeah, that was my whole goal in elementary school during the Canada Fitness testing, was just don't get the participation one.
No, you want excellence.
I was not getting an excellence, though.
Really?
No, my flexed arm hang was terrible.
Oh, Lisa would love to hear that.
Really?
Yeah, she's a little bit lacking in the flexed arm hang.
Oh, yeah. I would get gold. I was a gold guy. Gold, silver, depending, because the rope climb, eh, not so much. But flexed arm hang was my definite weak spot.
Oh, wow. You should practice at the playground. You're going to be going to the you're going to be going to the playground lots now. Lisa still practices.
Yeah?
Yep. She practices.
Is there a lot of call for a 37-year-old to be able to do the flexed arm hang?
Not really, but it's still funny. I get a kick out of it.
I tell you what, when next time I'm home, we're going to head down to the playground and have a flexed arm hang off.
Sure.
And just see who can do it. Are you good?
I am reasonable. I'd say I'm somewhere between reasonable and exceptional.
Reasonable and exceptional. I'm somewhere between horrible and Olympic athlete. That's where I am. We've had that similar situation this week when we've had people drop by the house to see the baby, and they give us the, yep, I'll be by sometime in the next 5 minutes to 8 hours. Okay, yeah, well, I'll sit by the door.
Know that window a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, here's my problem is that once upon a time I was a pretty good athlete, and in my mm-hmm. mind I'm still that pretty good athlete, only I'm not anymore.
Yes.
Or my body doesn't respond to what my brain is asking it to do. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah, when back in those days you didn't pull a rib muscle eating dinner.
Exactly.
Yeah. Those are some big pork chops, and therefore,
yes, yeah, no, it's
good.
True. That's exactly true.
Yeah. All right, and the third crashing halt. That's the hat trick.
What? Well, what about your pictures? How about that?
Yes, let's do that. Let's power
that
through
should,
that.
That should fire it up a notch.
All right, the one I went with is Lynn's cousin.
Okay.
But originally I shot one of a friend's friend and his baby. They brought their infant over, and I had something in mind specifically. But after I shot it, it didn't really have quite the effect that I was going for. That we were talking about, this sort of directional shaped light, sculptured light.
Yeah, sculptured.
So while I could never have achieved the shot that I got without using the black foamy thing, Neil Van Niekerk.
Yeah.
Did I mention his name?
Just call it the Niekerk.
The Niekerk. And
Niekerk's
I could
method.
Never achieve that without it. It didn't really, I don't know, I didn't think it was the best example of what we could do. So the next day, Lena's cousin came over to meet our baby, and I asked politely, hey, listen, can I take your picture for the challenge? So she said yes, obviously.
Right. No, I wanted you to tell us how you did this, because you kind of had a little bit of a build-up, right? You have another picture that you sent me that's basically the background exposure, and
yep.
And she's basically a silhouette until you add the flash.
I'm going to post that. That one's posted as well, that picture. Yeah, when I go to approach a photo like this, first of all, this is on camera flash, bounced off the wall to my right. And she's standing in a doorway. So she's kind of out, just outside of the room that we're in.
Yeah.
And that was on purpose. I wanted the bounce light coming off the wall to sort of cast a shadow from the doorway on her.
Right.
So you can see on her back. You'd never get that if the light was coming from directly on camera.
Right.
And so by creating that sort of shadow, we add depth to the picture and all that good stuff.
Which is kind of lost on you know, the amateurs like myself, because, I mean, yeah, I see it now, but by no means did I look at that and think, wow, how did he get the shadow on her back?
Right, but that's my point. That's my goal, is I don't want you to look at it. I don't want you to notice. And this is kind of my theory for all of photography, is I don't want you to notice anything about my photos, besides the fact that they're good, of course.
Right.
But I don't want to draw your attention to one specific method. It should be all about the subject.
Okay. Well, mission accomplished.
By doing this, this is sort of mimics real life, the way that shadow falls. Like that shadow could be coming from a window. Like you wouldn't know to look at this to go, oh, that's definitely a flash picture.
I agree with you. Yeah.
So what I did was I basically separated it into two exposures. Is we have the ambient light, which is the background, and then we have the flash. So I established the background first before I even add the flash. And that's what the silhouette shot will show, is that's the shot without flash.
Right.
And then once I build the background to where I want it, in this case, all I did was expose properly. I didn't light it with any other lights, but that's how I would light it. I would light that first if I was going to use a flash for the background.
Yeah.
And then move to the subject. But just using the ambient light and setting it how I wanted it, I wanted it to be a little bit blown out. Like, you see how the windows are a little bit bright.
Yeah.
And that's on purpose, because my instinct lately, for a long time, has always been to sort of expose properly so we can see outside, and then add enough flash to even it out. And then we have that sort of well-balanced exposure. But it doesn't mimic real life. When you're inside on a very bright day, it's still bright outside.
Yeah.
Your eye doesn't see all, you know, latitude. And so that's what I wanted to do. So anyway, I established the background to be overexposed, and you can see it in the silhouette shot. And then I added the bounce flash using the black foamy thing so no light would hit her directly.
Yeah.
And that's how we ended up getting that. And I shot this with my 40D... and my kit lens.
Yeah, I think it's a good shot. I'm dying to know who her hairstylist is, because her hair looks amazing.
I don't know. She was on her way to work at a wedding. So, I guess that's
what stands out for me in this picture is just her hair. Like the gold looks great in the picture. That sort of pops right out.
All right. I'll let her know.
Yeah, tell her good work on the hair. I notice these things. Not having my own hair, I tend to notice other people's.
You're hyper aware?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's true. Like, I can see people and right away say, hey, you had your hair done, or you got a haircut, or your hair got colored. And in all honesty, yeah, I notice it. Men and women, I notice their hair. I think it's kind of a subconscious but conscious thing.
Nice.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I did notice it myself. I think she's always had good hair. I don't know. I've never really noticed her hair being bad before, put it that way.
She could be getting a call from Justin Bieber's people.
She could. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So the one thing that's kind of missing here, and which I didn't mind, is catch lights in her eyes.
No, I did notice that, and I thought, wow, that's kind of... an Al faux pas not to have the catch light and be putting it up there for the photo challenge. So,
however, you don't want to get married to catch lights.
Oh, come on.
They're nice, but not all the time. Do you eat chocolate for breakfast?
Sometimes.
Well, maybe that's why you don't have any hair. I don't know. I'm not a doctor.
Well, you're right. If you were really going for reality here in every element, sometimes there aren't catch lights.
Yeah. That's exactly what I thought when it came down to it. And the way I lit it is the way that where the direction the light's coming from, it's just not going to happen because it is so directional, this flash.
Yeah.
It was a difficult situation. And because she's kind of in the hallway, the reflection wouldn't hit her right where it needed it to.
Yeah.
But that was fine. And I took another alternate one, like a more of a full body shot, well, half body shot, I suppose, and did it in black and white. But I ended up liking the close-up better.
I like the close-up better as well.
Yeah, as did she. She liked it. She liked the pose better, which I didn't really show her everything. I basically just, you know, this all took place in the span of about 3 minutes.
Well, I just interject too. For a big part of the photo for me is her hair in the black and white. It just doesn't do it justice.
Good point.
Yeah,
I hadn't thought of it that way. So,
yeah, You wrecked her hair, buddy.
The best part about this, using this kind of on-camera flash with the black foamy thing, is you can get these studio type results in like 60 seconds.
Yes.
Once you practice up and get doing it. Its results are ridiculous and easy.
Yes, I agree. Very easy.
All right. That's the photo challenge.
All right, so are we done?
That's it. I think so. I think we broke Skype.
There was tons of good nuggets there.
Yeah, a lot of it's going to come down the road. That's a good teaser. And I think we'll get into it, how to do that a little more in depth in a couple episodes. But before we get there, let's talk a little bit about this week's topic. It's a shooting with an external flash. This is external flash part two.
Okay.
And we want to talk a little bit about how to shoot with it and what you're doing. So last week we talked about why you want to add an external flash, because there's more power, you can bounce it. So let's talk about how to use it now.
Okay.
Okay. Before we get into that, I want to say a quick recap of what flash photography is.
I don't remember, so you better fill me in.
Flash photography is essentially you're now making two exposures. That's what's going on.
Right.
Instead of your one, when you take a normal picture, you're making one exposure. You got how much light's coming in. Boom. That's what you do. Now you're making two. You have your ambient light or your existing light, whatever you want to call it. We call it ambient light. But basically, your everyday light is out there. So you have to make an exposure based on that. And then, if you're going to add flash, you have to make an exposure based on the flash. And somehow marry those two together in a pleasing ratio to make one final exposure. That makes sense?
Makes sense.
So if you're outside and you have the sun shining, the bulk of your exposure is going to come from ambient light. And if you add flash to it, it'll be a small amount. The converse, that means opposite, right? No?
I was talking to my wife.
Okay. we'll wait.
No, I was getting bored of what you were talking about, so I figured I had a few seconds to talk to my wife, so I have no idea what you asked me.
Okay. the converse means opposite, correct?
Sure.
Ask your wife.
Does converse?
I'm just joking. Opposite? What, are you kidding me?
You wanted me to ask. I know what it means.
So when you're inside.
How about the inverse? Or how about to converse?
To converse. I was thinking about the old running shoes.
Yeah. Well, that was the first thing that came to my mind too, but I didn't want to say it.
Anyways, the opposite is true when you're inside and you don't have much ambient light. The bulk of your exposure is going to come from your flash. But what we're going to learn how to do is balance those two and decide on our own how much of each we want to include to make our proper exposure.
Okay.
So how do you shoot? I mean, how long have you had an external flash for?
About a year.
Okay.
Maybe a little less than a year.
And how do you shoot with it? Well, what mode do you use? What mode did you use?
I originally used primarily AV mode. When I got that flash, I was right at the sort of transition point of switching over from AV to manual mode, just with my camera without the external flash. And when I got the external flash, again, I dropped back to AV mode just again, I figured to simplify things. And so now I'm back, I'm up to sort of manual exposure for the most part with the camera and the flash. But originally I spent the first couple of months tinkering around in AV mode primarily with the flash.
And you get pretty good results with that.
Absolutely.
I mean, they look great. Nothing wrong with shooting in AV mode. What goes on with the camera? The technology that's jammed into that camera is astounding about what it does to make an image. And do you want to explain what ETTL is?
Pretty much the auto setting where it basically has a sensor on the front of your flash that, you know, can measure how much light needs to be added from the flash.
Even better than that, it's a sensor that's built into your camera that measures how much light actually comes through the lens.
Right. Through the lens, that's right. Electronic through the lens, that's right.
So it is an unbelievable technology that allows us to take fantastic flash images. So that's what's going on there. If you're going to shoot with, you can pick up your flash. You have the Canon 430.
Yes.
You can pick that up and you can pop it on your camera, put it on AV mode, put it on ETTL, which PS, that's the default.
Yeah.
And go ahead and make great pictures. And what was the first thing that you did when you started shooting with the external flash? What was the first move you did?
Bounce, started angling it off different places, off the ceiling, off the walls, off of wherever, because it does that.
Yeah. That's the main reason to get to make the move. Not the main reason to make the move, but the first reason to make the move from your pop-up flash, which is underpowered and blah, 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 and all that stuff that we've talked about, over-talked about. The first move that people do is they want to bounce that flash.
Yes.
And highly recommend it. It basically ramps up the quality of your photographs by a factor of 10 immediately. Even on auto settings, you're going to get just some fantastic, mind-blowing results. Before we even get into how to go manual. Is there any downside? What were your limitations when you started shooting AV mode with the flash?
I'm not sure. Sometimes it would potentially overexpose. That's the only thing I can think of. If I was in AV mode, and again, depending on where you are situated, because again, in my place, I'm taking a lot of the pictures in the family room where there's window light. Sometimes the ETTL didn't properly balance the window light with the flash, especially if I was bouncing it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing I can think of offhand.
That does happen. But let's say you're shooting AV mode in the house.
Yeah.
And you want to add with the flash. And so you set it up. You set your aperture to, let's say, f4. And you go ahead and make your shot. Well, what's your shutter speed going to end up being if you're in the house
at f4? That's true. The shutter speed can only go to 1/200th of a second. So on my camera, it'll start flashing because it would like to go a lot higher than that, but its limitation is that it can only go to 1/200th of a second.
That's something more that's going to happen outside. Let's say you're inside, you set it to let's say ISO 400.
Yeah.
You got a nice aperture of 4 or 5.6 or something like that. You're going to go the other way. You're going to find that your shutter speed, in order to make that image in AV mode, it's going to try to meter correctly and make a decent image, and it's going to end up with a shutter speed of like 1/40th or 1/30th of a second.
Yeah, sorry.
And then it's going to add the flash.
Right.
And so what you end up finding is you didn't want a shutter speed that slow. You wanted something fast because you didn't mind adding the flash to the image. But what the camera's done is it interpreted the fact that since you're in AV mode, that you wanted a proper exposure to start with.
Yeah.
So one way around this is to switch it over to T mode or TV mode or Is that what it's called?
Yeah, TV on the Canon.
TV on the Canon. I don't know what it's called on the Nikon. Probably something that the exact same. Basically, now you're going to set the shutter speed. So rather than set your aperture and have your shutter speed catch up, now you're going to set the shutter speed and let your aperture catch up. And so this one's actually very handy for shooting with flash because now let's say you want a fast shutter speed so you get a nice sharp image and you set your camera to 1/200th of a second, it's going to set the corresponding aperture for you. Now, in this case, it's probably going to be 1.8 and still not have enough light, but then it will add the flash and your life will be good again.
That's great.
Okay.
Full stop.
Significant. Running it by your wife.
No, I agree with everything you said. I had nothing further to add.
Right. Now, there's a downside to that, though, as well. Because let's say you get all set up and you did not want aperture of f1.8. You wanted to get enough depth of field to include, you know, different things in focus. Well, all of a sudden, in TV mode, you're struggling to get the depth of field that you wanted.
Right.
So you're not in full control of what's going on. So these are great ways to start. I recommend starting that way when you get your new external flash, which let's assume everybody heard our show last week, ran down to Carisdale Camera and bought themselves a new flash.
Yeah.
Or London Drugs. I also buy from London Drugs. I'm not supported by any of those people. That's where I buy stuff. In Vancouver.
Yes.
So I assume everybody ran down there and picked one up. So when you get home and put it on your camera, feel free to use those modes. I would recommend starting out in AV and TV mode and seeing where it leads you. But as you can imagine, when you have that much stuff going on with the camera exposure, and then we're adding a flash exposure on top of that, that's a lot of calculations. Gesundheit.
That's not me. That was Lisa. Sorry. She's really messing with...
So Gesundheit to your wife.
Yeah, she's messing with the podcast. I thought it was over. She thought it was over. Did you hear that? She thought it was over like an hour ago.
I thought you said we were done.
I thought it was over.
That's what she said. She's like, I thought I heard you say it was done. I think she's sending me. She's sending us a subtle message. It hasn't been good for an hour.
No one's listening. Yeah. No one's been listening at this point. Okay, Lisa, I'll try to freight train through the rest of this.
Okay, all right, just for her.
Just for her. So when you're shooting with AV mode, there's a lot of calculations going on. It's calculating the ambient light and then how much flash it has to add. And the camera does a really good job. The technology is absolutely amazing. What they pack into that little camera. But if you want to make any kind of adjustment, where do you start? If you're going to make an adjustment in AV mode and flash, where would you start?
I don't know.
I don't know either, and that's the challenge, is because there's so many variables flying around. It would be like if you're going to go duck hunting, and the ducks are flying around, and you're riding around in the back of a pickup truck trying to shoot those moving ducks, while jumping on a trampoline.
Did you write that down or did you just come up with that?
No, that's just all in my head.
Wow.
So that's what making changes with flash is, with ETTL flash in AV mode is like. You can get the end result. You could probably hit that duck. But you have to make so many minor adjustments to get there and every time you make an adjustment, you run the risk of the camera counteracting that adjustment.
Yes.
And I prefer not to do that.
So manual is king is what you're saying.
I'll tell you what I shoot, and this is more of a hint towards next week's show, is I absolutely shoot full manual exposure on my camera when I shoot with flash. I shoot full manual, and I put my... Oftentimes, put my flash in ETTL mode and let it do all the auto stuff on its own.
And I think that makes sense, and that's what I do too. And just thinking about it, I think after you tinker around, for those of you out there that have just gotten your new external flashes, you'll realize that, once you set up the exposure that you want for your background in manual, which doesn't take very long at all, and we've actually done in previous challenges, that it's actually quite easy, because then the ETTL takes over and will give you a proper exposure for your subject.
And that's basically, you're limiting the variables that are happening. That's what we're eliminating as many as we can. The only variable now is your flash.
Yeah.
Which you can then dial up or down with the exposure the flash exposure compensation to suit your needs.
Absolutely. And so I think a lot of people out there listening might still be thinking that manual is too complicated for them. But again, I guess we've hammered this point home to death. In this situation, it actually isn't that complicated at all. So we encourage you to try both and, decide for yourself what you like better.
That's the beauty. If you're shooting around the house, or at my typical example, if you're shooting at a party or something like that, absolutely put it in manual mode and let the ETTL do all the walking. All the driving, whatever the analogy is.
Yeah, talking.
Talking? Could be.
Do you still go to parties now that you have a kid?
No, I stopped getting invited to parties a long time ago. After the incident. Anyway, so when you're at a party, put it in manual mode, because the good news is you're likely in a smaller room with lots of white walls, and you're now that you're bouncing your flash, which you should be. If your flash can bounce, you should bounce it. In fact, the flash shouldn't even tip down to shoot direct. That's how often I shoot that. I shoot with it directly.
Yeah.
It happens. It does happen. Later on, we'll get to it. But when you're shooting in the house like this, you're not doing direct flash. Outside, maybe. But the good news is, if you miss your manual exposure, if you underexpose walking around the house at the party, your flash will pick up the slack.
Yes.
The worst case scenario is you're going to find your pictures are flash heavy instead of ambient light heavy. But because you're bouncing your flash, it's going to have the appearance of ambient light anyways. If you're overexposing in manual, well, you're going to want to dial it down a little bit. Nothing you can do about that. The flash isn't going to help you in that situation.
And I think the only thing that I find particularly tricky about flash photography at this point in my photography career is the fact that, I guess it depends on the color of your walls, but white balance gets a little trickier when you're shooting with the flash.
White balance can be a real sack of hammers, that's for sure. Yes, because the white balance of your flash is likely not going to match anything in your house or any light coming in, and like you just said, bouncing off different colored walls. It can be a real issue. A simple solution is black and white.
Yeah, which sometimes ends up being the answer.
That's what I end up doing. I had a lot of trouble balancing the colors in the picture of Lena's cousin.
Yeah.
And I still don't think I've got it right. I still think it's not quite there. But I didn't want to do it in black and white, because I did the one in black and white, one in color. I like the color one better.
The one I did of Jack is super brown heavy, because I'm bouncing the flash off a brown wall, and and the couch is brown, and the walls are brown, and everything, just it was just brown. So I had to go with the black and white or a very brown picture.
Right, black and white it is.
Yeah.
So that's where I would start. Manual mode, underexpose it a little bit if you want, and fire away. And we'll get into more manual stuff next week. We're going to get into how to build a flash exposure and shoot it on purpose instead of just let the camera do all the thinking for you. And we'll get into that, and we'll talk about what Adam was hinting at earlier in the episode about the 1/200th and the maximum sync speed. That's next week.
Can't wait.
again, you could Google it or just sit in the dark. So you have options.
What about the challenge for next week?
Next week's challenge, it's going to be a flash picture, or is it?
So you don't want to be able to tell? Is that what you're getting at?
That's what I'm telling you. Okay. The only other stipulation is that it must be shot in manual mode.
Okay.
Full manual. On your camera must be shot full manual.
Yeah.
And the rest of it, we should not be able to tell if there was a flash or there was not a flash.
And this is indoors or it doesn't matter?
It's up to you.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you, if you want to go ahead and do something with a fill flash, that will be kind of phoning it in.
Okay. I won't do that.
In my head, I'm going to build an exposure. I'm going to take a portrait shot. In my head, it's going to be a portrait shot.
Okay.
It might not end up being that way time-wise, but in my head, that's what I'm going to do. That may or may not be lit by a flash.
Okay.
Awesome. So, until next week, where can people find your photos?
SchwartzChronicles.com. And how about yours? All right.
AlanAttridge.com. You can find us, Two Hosers, at Twitter. You can find us, TwoHosers.com, or on iTunes. I think that's about it. Anywhere else?
No.
And Adam will be signing autographs at the boat show with Gilligan next week. So yeah. Look for him there.
Yes. What about Flickr? What about our Flickr?
Oh, yeah. We still have the Flickr thing going.
I haven't been on there in a few days, so I apologize if anyone's posted something and I haven't commented. I haven't been on there.
I have not been as well. I think it's been a slow week. I think we had a couple of – we had July 1st, Canada Day, and July 4th, America Day, and then disinterest. So since then. So, yeah, check us out on the Flickr. If you go to our website and click on the Flickr link, you can join our what do you call it? Group. It's a
Flickr,
group, right?
Flickr group, yeah.
Flickr group. You can join it for free. You can submit your entries into our challenge. You can make fun of our entries if you like.
And you can get some very helpful feedback.
Yes.
From you, because my feedback is usually absolute nonsense.
Good point. All right, let's end it on that then. You're absolute nonsense.
Okay.
So this week's tips, use your flash to bounce, and don't listen to any of Adam's advice.
Except for get a black foamy piece of paper, cardboard-ish stuff.
Black foamy thing. I have a feeling we're going to mention that on the show a little bit more because it's that awesome.
Yeah.
So until then, get out there and make some better pictures.